sin enters the world. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Thanks be to God.
Hannah's prayer. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bow of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who are hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder from heaven against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Thanks be to God.
Isaiah foretells that one day God would send his promised Saviour. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Thanks be to God.
The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Thanks be to God.
Mary's song. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried into a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Thanks be to God.
Jesus is born in Bethlehem. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
The shepherds hear the good news. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid.
I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning of what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Thanks be to God.
Lord Jesus, we pray now that you would indeed teach us. Teach us this evening through the words of your mother, that we may glorify you as our Lord and rejoice in you as our Saviour. We ask it to your Father's eternal praise. Amen. Amen. Do you please be seated? I hope you've been enjoying our carol service and that we've sung at least one of your favourite carols. I have to say, musicians, choir, been in marvellous sound and voice this evening. So let me thank you on all our behalf for that. I particularly enjoyed the Still, 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 which was new to me, although I was disappointed to discover that it is in fact not an Australian carol, but an Austrian one. Slight typo. So I tell you what, the Austrians can keep the carols and we'll keep the cricket. And that just seems fine to me. I better move on. Well, I want to think with you this evening, just for a few minutes, about one of my favourite songs. It's not presented to us as a song. There's no musical score, but it's Mary's song. It was read for us by Emily earlier on. Our last four readings have all been taken from the first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke, and it was the second of those. I want to think with you about that song this evening and see whether we can make it our own. Let's put it in context. First of all, Mary, newly pregnant with Jesus, goes to visit her relative Elizabeth. Elizabeth is in her sixth month of pregnancy. I guess if they had Facebook in those days, perish the thought, they might have posted a photograph, something like that. Both pregnancies were miraculous. Elizabeth was barren. Luke delicately describes her earlier in his gospel as well on in years. She was barren. She was beyond the age of childbearing. Mary was, of course, a virgin of marriageable age, probably somewhere between 13 and 15, perhaps a year 9 or 10 girl by our way of reckoning. We don't know exactly what the family relationship was between Mary and Elizabeth. We're just told she was a relative. We might imagine perhaps that Elizabeth was Mary's great aunt or something like that. Two miraculous pregnancies. Every now and again, remarkable pregnancies occur in the Bible, but never two at once. And when these two occur, we know that God is about to do his greatest work. He is about to reveal the fullness of his mercy and saving power in the birth of his own son. But each of these pregnancies is remarkable. Just picture the scene, if you will, as they both arrive at the Hill Country NHS maternity clinic for a scan. The kindly nurse looks at Elizabeth as she says she's here for the maternity unit and says to her, surely, dear, you mean elderly care. Let me just steer you in the right direction. And we can just picture the look, can't we, that that nurse might have given this unwed teenage girl as she comes to the maternity unit. Elizabeth has described her own barrenness as a disgrace. She's felt marginalised and all her life has longed for this child. Mary, we know from Matthew's gospel, her pregnancy was a cause of gossip, and again, one that would have been regarded as disgraceful for those who did not know the miraculous explanation. Well, here they are. And as they come and meet together, Mary comes to meet Elizabeth and spend some time with her when Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. And that preamble prior to Mary singing her song is full of blessing and of God's favour and of joy and of the testimony of God's Holy Spirit as to the remarkable work that he is now doing through these two extraordinary women and the children that they will bear. Elizabeth's son, who will testify to Mary's son and assure God's people that he is indeed the one who has kept all of God's promises, that Mary's son is God's son, whose kingdom will never end. And as they meet together and compare stories of the remarkable things that God has done for each of them, she sings her song. We call it the Magnificat. There's nothing feline in that reference. It's just the Latin translation of the opening part of her song. And she says in the song, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me." And as we come and think about Mary's own song, the first thing we need to do is just peel away a little bit of misunderstanding. The tragedy of 2,000 years of church tradition is that we mishear Mary. She says, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." But she's not saying that because she was blessed and therefore we should look to her as the conduit of finding God's blessing for ourselves. Not that at all that she's saying. And what she's saying is that she has found God's blessing by listening humbly and obediently to his voice, and that we may find just as great a blessing as she did by looking to God in the same way that she does. And we know that's the right way to interpret her own song, because Jesus, her son, when he grows up, teaches that very thing. Later on in Luke's gospel, we read this. Jesus has been teaching, and as he's been teaching profound truths from God, a woman in the crowd calls out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." And Jesus replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Mary is blessed by God because she heard his word and obeyed it. And Jesus says exactly the same is true for us. If we want to find the blessing of God, we don't need to go through Mary or go back in time. We need ourselves from our own hearts today to come to God, to receive his word with humility and faith. And then he will bless us in the midst of our lives. We will rejoice in knowing that God is with us, just as he was with Mary and Elizabeth those years ago. I wonder if you will find God's blessing like that, like she did, like we all can today. Mary's testimony is at the start of her song. And my question to you is, will it be your testimony as well this Christmas time? She says this, this godly teenage girl, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. That can be our testimony as well, if we will follow her example. Let's trace through a couple of the key themes of her song. Firstly, that there is a Lord to glorify. There is a God who is powerful. The Lord, the Mighty One, she says, holy is his name. He has performed mighty deeds. Mary is humble as she looks around at the extraordinary world that God has made, as she reads in the scriptures of the great promises God has given. She knows herself to be a part of a people who again and again have known the mighty saving acts of God. And so she bows down before the great God and humbles herself before him. Friends, don't mistake the weakness of the baby born in the Christmas manger. This is the mighty God who has sent his own son to us. Not as an advisor or merely a teacher or healer, but as the great king over his everlasting kingdom. He is the mighty God before whom the wise will bow their knees in humble adoration. Think of the opposite attitude, perhaps, to drive the point home to us. Do you know the famous poem by William Ernest Hensley, Invictus? It climaxes in these lines: I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. That is the exact opposite of the attitude that Mary had. She knew that the Lord was the mighty God, that he was the master of her fate, that he was the captain of her soul. If we will learn the lesson from her and not from Henley, then we will be wise and we will put ourselves in his hands where we already belong, but we will do so joyfully. And we will discover that to do so is to find the very salvation and fullness of life that he longs to bring each of us. He is a just God. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has sent the rich away empty. We must not think in this Advent season that because his justice is veiled, that it is inoperative. He is just operating on a larger timescale. No, there is a Lord to glorify, a mighty one who has performed mighty deeds, who brings down rulers and sends the rich away empty. We bring nothing to him. We receive everything from him. He is the one who scatters those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. Which will it be? Will we glorify him in humility, or will we proudly proclaim that we are the master of our fate and the captain of our soul? It's a choice of our hearts. It's a choice that each of us must make. Well, then Mary tells us that there is a Saviour in whom we can rejoice. Notice that in her own testimony, she is not perfect, which teenager ever was. She calls upon God as her Saviour. Any person who needs a Saviour is one who needs saving. It's fairly straightforward. A Saviour, a rescuer, one who will wash away all our sins and give us a fresh beginning. Mary says that she rejoices in God, her Saviour. She is not perfect. She is not sinless, any more than you or I are perfect and sinless. What a great example this young girl is to us. She cries out to God, her Saviour, and we can as well. And like her, we will find a God who delights in forgiving our transgressions. Who is a God like you, says the prophet, who pardons sin and forgives transgression? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy and compassion. That's the God who is there. Not the God who is looking to condemn us, but the God who is longing to forgive us, if only we will seek it from our hearts and receive his mercy. Now, as the Gospel of Luke unfolds, and I would encourage you, if you've never read it, it's a great thing to read, a short book over the Christmas holidays. As the story develops, we heard the next part in Luke 2, when the Saviour of the world comes, he is Christ the Lord. The child born is the Lord and Saviour of Mary's testimony. As the story continues still further, Luke records that on the night before Jesus dies, he speaks to his disciples of a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Jesus forgives our sins by bearing them in his own body on the cross. That is how we can know our sins forgiven. That is how we can know God as our Saviour and God in whom we can rejoice. His mercy, Mary tells us, extends to all those who fear him, all those who revere him and come before him in repentance and faith. So what about you this Christmas? It's a simple question. Can you sing her song? My soul glorifies the Lord. and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour? Or are you too proud, too self-reliant to take her words onto your lips? Not just your outward expression, but the inward reality of who you know yourself to be before God. Jesus will teach us later that anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Well, here is a teenager teaching us of what it means to come into God's kingdom. Know this, the only people that God sends away empty are those who come full of themselves. But Mary assures us the repentant will find him forgiving. His mercy extends to all those who fear him, that the humble will find him generous. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry. He has helped his servant. The believing will find him faithful, for he remembers to be merciful, just as he said. He keeps his promises. Hear Mary's testimony. Let it challenge you right deep in your hearts, and seek God that you might make her song yours this Christmas and always. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as your own mother bore you in her womb, she glorified in her Lord and rejoiced in her Saviour. We pray that as we rehearse again the great events that led to your birth 2,000 years ago, that you would so work in us by your Holy Spirit, as you did then in Mary and Elizabeth, that our souls would glorify you as our Lord and our spirits rejoice in you as our Saviour. Amen.